So we've all heard the old saying, seeing is believing. Everybody's heard that, right? Everybody heard that old saying. But based on our readings today, I'm tempted to say that the opposite may be true, that believing is seeing. Now, all of our readings today are from the lectionary. And if you're counting, that's 3 weeks in a row. 3 weeks, that may be a record. All the readings are from the lectionary. I like the fact that the lectionary sort of wrapped up almost like a mini-series on the book of Job. And it wrapped it up. It's not in next week. I looked ahead. That kind of wrapped it up today. For the last couple weeks, we've been talking about Job, right? I kind of feel sorry for you if you missed it the last couple weeks. Yeah. But you can always check the website if you need to catch up on our stories about Job. So now we're going to check back on Job in just a minute. But first, let's start today with our gospel reading, which is another one of our all-time favorite stories. That story about blind old Bartimaeus. That's a great story. Now, I always call him blind old Bartimaeus for some reason. Now, we know for sure that he's what? Blind, yeah? We don't actually know that he's old, but I call him blind old Bartimaeus. It's neither here nor there. It's just, it just seems like he would be old. Yeah. Okay. Now, Jesus and his crew in this story sure lost her pupil, it looks like. Get back to class. She was sent on a mission, it looks like. Very good. Now, Jesus and his crew at this point in the story are on the final approach to Jerusalem. That's where we are. And they cross the Jordan River, Linda, from east to west. That's where they're traveling. And they're approaching Jerusalem. But first, as soon as they cross the Jordan River, right on the banks, they enter into the city of Jericho. That's where they enter. Now, I could draw you a map. I know how much you love that, Kurt. But it's covered up. The easel is covered up. So I won't bother to draw you a map today. And by the way, Tim has a beautiful map, but it's also covered up. You can check it out later. Jericho, you can picture it, is on the west side of the Jordan River, pretty much right along the banks there. And there was a large crowd along with Jesus and his disciples. And then they encountered blind old Bartimaeus. And he shouts out, as Barry said, "Jesus, son of David." In other words, he was referencing the Messiah. "Have mercy on me." And then listen, the crowd, or the mob, as I like to call them, does what the mob tends to do, both then and today. They tell him to be quiet. They try to silence him. The mob says, you know, don't believe. Don't speak out in your belief. Be quiet. We don't want to hear what you have to say. But what does old Bartimaeus do in verse 48? He shouts out all the more. Yeah, good for him, right? Good for him. And who hears him right away in verse 49, the very next verse? Jesus. Yep, of course. Now picture this in your minds. This is really good. I love this about this story. Bartimaeus jumped to his feet, it says, and went running to Jesus. Blind, right? Blind. Can you picture that? And do you think there might be some intentional symbolism in this story? Yeah, maybe, right? Maybe. Old Bartimaeus, blind. We can pretty much assume that he was poor, dirty, smelly, groping, stumbling and falling, Bartimaeus goes running to Jesus. Now, do you think Jesus, as he saw this guy coming towards him, do you think Jesus was annoyed, offended, at all bothered by this? No, right? No, he loved it. You know it. You can just tell. You can feel it. He loved it. He loved it, right? Jesus, you can hear him say, come on. Come on. Keep on coming, right? Just keep on coming. And then he says, what do you want me to do for you? Right? What a great scene. Yeah? Again, is that symbolic? Could that be any of us at different points in our lives? I want to see, says Bartimaeus. Sure you do. Sure you do. Of course you do. Receive your sight. And immediately he received it. But notice, Jesus says in verse 52, it was his faith that healed him. Bartimaeus believed. He didn't know. He believed. How could he know? He hadn't seen a thing. He was blind. He hadn't seen any miracles. Probably heard about them. But he hadn't witnessed anything himself. He couldn't have. Bartimaeus didn't have certainty. He had faith. And his faith, his believing, came before his seeing. It was his faith that healed him. And many times in the Bible, it's people's faith that heals them, not their certainty. It's believing that is the seeing. The believing comes first. In Hebrews 11:1, the author, we sometimes surmise that's Priscilla, the author says that, quote, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about, in other words, believing in, what we do not see. And our own St. Paul states further in Romans chapter 8, quote, for in hope we were saved. What is seen is no longer hope. And so, in a way, the Bible kind of refutes that old harmless figure of speech that we started out with. Seeing isn't really believing. Seeing is knowing. I mean, seeing is a certainty. Believing is hope. Believing is faith. And for old Bartimaeus, believing literally was seeing. And for us, believing is seeing because it opens the eyes of our hearts like nothing else really can. Okay, so here we go. What then for us humans is probably the number one obstacle to our belief, our faith? You can say it. We talk about it all the time. Human pride. Human pride. There's no doubt. Of course, it's human pride. It causes that disconnect that we've been talking about for the last few weeks and many other weeks. The disconnect between us and God is caused by human pride. Yeah. And who had that problem in the extreme? We've been picking on him for the last couple of weeks. Say it. Job, our boy Job. He had the problem of human pride, no doubt about it, as we all do. But he had it in the extreme. Pride was Job's problem. That's what caused his disconnect from God. Not his suffering. No. Suffering tends to bring us closer to God, if we're being honest. Because suffering tends to bring us to our knees. Yeah? In humble surrender. It does. I mean, just look at Bartimaeus. But that was not happening with Job. For whatever reason, in the story of Job, that was not happening. He was clinging throughout that long book. It was a long book. to his sense of blamelessness and victimhood. He was saying, why should this be happening to me? All this bad stuff. I don't deserve this. Other people deserve it, yes, but not me. That was Job's attitude. And he never really got over that. He was never really seeking or talking to God throughout the book. Now, I will tell you, there's no doubt in my mind that we should be seeking God, kind of taking the initiative and seeking God, reaching out to him. But what if we don't? What if we fail to do that, like Job? What if we don't reach out to God? Will he abandon us? I don't think so. It doesn't seem like it. No. No, think of this. Think of it. Jesus tells the very important parable, one of our favorites, of the lost sheep, right? The good shepherd will go, leave the 99, and find that lost sheep, whether it likes it or not. And look at the story of Job. It's a perfect example. Finally, in chapters 38, 39, and 40, the Lord speaks. God came to find Job. Before that, Job was blind. He was blinded by his pride. We wrote a song about this very thing called You Came to Find Me. You may remember that. We sing it, Grace and Harper sing it, right here. You came to find me. It talks about pride and how we put up a fight. But then it says, but still you came to find me somewhere in my darkest night. And yeah, I think so. I believe that. I do. I believe that. God found Job in his darkest night. He reached out to Job firmly but lovingly and saved him. And because of that, Job's faith, his connection with God, was restored. And at long last, in the final chapter, 42, Job speaks directly to God. And he says, I know that you can do all things. Now my eyes have seen you, and I repent in dust and ashes. And then and only then could the story of Job conclude with a happy ending. Verse 12. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life even more than the former part. And thus ends the story and the lesson of Job. So in closing, as we work through our readings today in reverse order, we look back now at our responsive reading in the 34th and the 34th Psalm. Now this is a psalm of thanksgiving written by King David. But he actually wrote this before he was king. He wrote this at a time when the then king named Saul was trying to kill him. You might remember this. King Saul was very, very jealous of the young, handsome, and popular David, and was desperately trying to hunt him down and do away with him. But David was able to slip away and escape to relative safety. And that's when it's believed that he wrote the 34th Psalm, a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. It's what's in your bulletin, the first few verses. David emphasizes here the importance of praising God out loud, vocally. And he clearly believes that there is added value in doing it together. We do it together. He says this, praise will always be on my lips. Let us exalt his name together. And then David stresses something that we noticed in our gospel reading today, the value of seeking God, us seeking him, maybe especially in our times of distress. Verse 4, this poor man called, and the Lord heard him. Certainly was his situation, and it also reminds me of blind old Bartimaeus. And I think all three of these readings today, and many more like them, it all points to one simple question. Why? Why would God save anybody? Why? I mean, why would he do it? What's in it for him? Why would God save David? Why would God reach out to save Job? Why would Jesus obviously want to encounter, knew it was going to happen, and heal Bartimaeus? Why would God heal, restore, save any of us? Why? And the only possible answer is because God is good. Verse 8, for my responsive reading in your bulletin, taste and see that the Lord is good. Good. Believe and see his goodness. Experience it. Turn to him in your time of need. Like Bartimaeus, go running and stumbling, falling into his arms. And praise him like David with thanksgiving. Do it all with faith, not certainty. Faith that surpasses all of our understanding. And ultimately, like Job, do it with humility. Humility that conquers our human pride. And especially now, let's keep doing it together. Amen.